Louisiana. And our guest today is Dr. Linda Loggeman. She is a commissioner on the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. She is an associate clinical professor at the University of California at San Francisco and a licensed clinical psychologist who recently closed her practice to devote herself to full time to addressing the very serious issues in the mental health field. Her website is drloggeman.com. That's LAGEMANN. And the other websites of interest are cchr.org and cchrint.org. And we will only be on for 2 hours today, as they are having some scheduling and technical difficulties at RBN. So,
Kate,
we're talking about the airplane. You were talking about the breathing and the black box.
Exactly. Like, what? How would somebody be normally breathing? You know, if somebody snapped and was psychotic, they would have adrenaline going and they would be amped up. Whatever their, you know, psychotic is where you put significance on something, whatever it would be, like, okay, they're going to crash the plane and kill the devil, I don't know what, but they would be breathing harder. It's that disconnection that could have somebody breathing just normally. Now, I also noticed in the chat room some people are thinking, you know, there's other theories or that maybe this wasn't just a crash the way it happened. So the main point I want to make, because it's true, we don't have all the data, and, you know, I got that, and I get that from the chatters. But the main point that I want to make is that this exposes, you know, pilots should not be on psychotropic medications with everybody's lives in their hands. And the FAA, our, you know, Federal Aviation Association, had a 70-year, for 70 years, they had a ban on pilots being on psychotropic medication for good reason, because all these things, all the known effects that, you know, that you can just read on the FDA warning labels, all the known research, even with everything that's been concealed and manipulated and altered, we still know that it causes suicide, it causes all this other stuff. So the FAA had a 70-year ban, but in April 2010, they lifted that, and they allowed pilots who fly commercial planes, they allowed pilots to be on SSRI antidepressants. And the reasoning was so they don't stigmatize depression and all that, but it's just, this is all part of the same thing of, you know, the marketing and the control here that's going on. And it's just a matter of time where that plays out, just like, you know, school shooters or something. When you have a pilot flying a plane who is on a mind-altering psychiatric drug that can cause derealization, disconnection, suicidal thoughts, homicidal thoughts, all of that, increased depression, it's just waiting for a disaster to happen.
Wow. That is a factor that we don't hear much about, the year 2010, that the FAA changed the ban on pilots. Well,
that's
just
right.
As they changed the ban on drugs, psych drugs in the military.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, same deal. Historically, the military, you couldn't be in the military if you want a psychiatric drug. And now, now the military itself is just pushing them. They had, you know, I've quoted before, where from 2005 to 2011, they had a 682% increase in prescriptions written in the military for psychiatric drugs. So something changed, and a deal was made. Somewhere a deal was made. I mean, this was
a deal with the devil.
That's right. And then you get a 682% boom increase in psychiatric drug prescriptions that the government pays for, tax dollars pay for. It's huge greed that, the psychiatric pharmaceutical industry taps into that budget, the, you know, Department of Defense budget and the VA budget. So, there was a reason that they had, that prior you couldn't be on them. Because
you're with a gun. You have a gun in your hand.
That's right. psychiatric drugs, drugs that alter your mind and affect your judgment and affect your impulse control, don't go well with guns, and they don't go well with, you know, some kind of public conveyance that where a lot of people's lives are at stake. Yeah.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Oh, I see we have a caller. Why don't we take a question?
Sure.
All righty. Kent in West Virginia. Kent, welcome.
Anyway, it's incredible that you're talking about this because I read an article this morning on Russia Today, and they're talking about he had a girlfriend, a former cabin crew employee named Maria, and I read this quote from this article. It says, quote, Maria said Lubitz, 27, sometimes woke up at night screaming, we're going down, in terror. And all the accounts that I've heard about these people that take these SSRI drugs, and then I've always been under the impression that they are actually living and acting out a dream. And my thinking is that is exactly what happened in this case. He was living and acting out a dream. And possibly because he was supposed to, he may have been, this thing about is the doctor giving him a thing to get off work, and he tore it up. He may have been being counseled to take his meds, you know, and stay off work, you know, and he may have been thinking, well, I can rehabilitate my... And you know how people do when they withdraw from these drugs.
That's right. When
these things happen, so that may be indicative of that. So I thought this was just amazing. I sent you a link to that.
Yeah, I just looked.
And you can maybe send it to your guest there if she wants to see it. But
I'm interested. Yeah, I would like that.
Wow.
And I'm hearing all kinds of things about blah, 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 the scattering of the debris field. Well, this plane was going 400 miles an hour, and it hit straight into the side of a mountain, which is an incline. So I've never seen a crash like that, but I imagine it's going to break up into little tiny pieces and going to fly all directions, particularly down the slope of that mountain. So I think I don't think there's any doubt that this is just a guy that was just off his meds, you know.
Yeah, well, that is the a very dangerous time, is that withdrawal time. Being on them and withdrawing from them are really dangerous.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, thank you, Kent. Did you have another comment or question?
No, I was just saying that confusion about him, you know, tearing up his doctor's orders. It seems to be he was maybe with, you know, treating himself, or so I think that's probably what's happening there. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that living out, you know, or acting out a dream. I mean, this is that depersonalization and derealization kind of thing where where the world doesn't quite seem real and somebody's not interacting in it in the way that, you know, takes into account the laws of physics and what's going to actually happen in reality.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Okay, I just posted that link in the chat room of the story that Kent sent.
Okay.
I wanted to ask also, I was talking with a parent just recently who has a child, a 17-year-old child, son, and the doctor put him on Prozac in November. And I said, oh, gosh, that's probably not a good thing for him to be on. And she said, oh, but depression has always run in her family, and so this is what she and her husband decided to do. But it seems to me that once a child is on drugs, whether they start with Ritalin or whatever, that they are usually on the drugs for the rest of their lives. And I've talked to a number of parents, and they seem to bounce from drug to drug. Mm-hmm. If Prozac doesn't work, then maybe Latuda will work. If that doesn't work, maybe something else will work, because that's what the doctors do. They put them on different drugs or add drugs. Has that been your experience?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You're creating a a culture of looking to a substance as an answer for something or a handling for something. So when people talk about depression runs in the family, depression runs in the, you know, human family. Depression is a human condition that people can go into and go out of without drugs. It's not a particular illness. It's not something that, it's just not a discrete illness like that you would say it runs in a family. I know that that is the line and that people are told that by psychiatrists and therapists. I grew up in all that training myself. But it's a way of framing something. You can have one family where they have, you know, quote, depression. People feel depressed at different times, and they don't identify with it or label it that particular thing. It's just part of being human, and they get out of it. And then you have another family where it gets labeled. It can also just be the culture of a family, like a certain way of handling things, and that's learned. It's not biochemical or genetic running in families, even though I know that's how it is marketed and people are pushed that way and told, oh, this runs in your family. Oh, did this drug benefit your aunt? Well, then we'll try you on that drug too because, you know, the link genetically. This is all not based on science. But anyway, you were talking about, you know, when you put kids on a drug, you put kids on ADHD drugs. These are amphetamines. You start very young. You tell a child, first of all, that they are defective. Now, you're already with the label. You are damaging their self-esteem, and it's all false anyway, but you tell a child they are defective, something's wrong with their brain or their body, and they need a drug. Okay, that drug is an amphetamine. And even though kids don't typically get hyper from it, it has an opposite effect, it still is the same addiction level. It's a Schedule II controlled substance. So they get addicted to the ADHD drug, Ritalin, Adderall, Concerta. And then when they get older, what do you think they're going to do when they get to college or something? They're looking for something to give them that same feeling. So they go to another drug. So one is just because their body is acclimated to a drug, and so they're going to keep seeking that. Two, by culture and by mindset, they've been trained into taking a pill for things. And so it just becomes a way of thinking. Like our whole culture in the minor ways, you know, somebody has a headache. They think, oh, well, let me get an aspirin or something. Instead of, oh, I have a headache. Huh, maybe I'm dehydrated and I should drink some water. Maybe I need to take a little nap here. Maybe I should go for a walk. Maybe, I'm stressed and I need to handle that and change some condition in my life. That's not how people generally think. They think headache, pill. And that's from commercials, you know.
Right.
What did people do before that? They handled it in different ways. They took a look at their life and thought, why do I have this going on? Let me correct that.
Sure. Yeah, I always think I need a bottle of water when I get a headache.
Yeah, that's a common thing. It's the dehydration that causes that. Yeah,
and liquor causes dehydration, and so when people wake up with a hangover, that is why, because liquor has dehydrated them.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So the culture, that's the thing that we can change, is where people, all of the marketing has made people feel like their problems are outside of their control. And also, in some way, that they don't have responsibility for them.
Sure.
Which is part of what's also kind of disabling people. You know, you're disempowering people when they think that they're not responsible for their own life and condition. But the marketing has put it, you know, as external and out of control. And what needs to happen, and I think what can happen, is for people to, you know, kind of reclaim their own life and their condition. And when they are feeling depressed or anxious or whatever it is, to look at what they can change in their life. How do they get a handle on this?
Wow. Yeah. And that's true even for conditions like schizophrenia, because there have been people, you know, automatically assume, oh, if a person is schizophrenic, then they have to have medication. But counseling and readjusting diet and readjusting your perceptions help, even for something like schizophrenia, which people have always thought, well, you need to have a pill. You need to be on medication.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you know, we didn't always have these drugs, you know?
Exactly.
And we got along okay. In fact, we got along way better. We didn't have people, so many homeless on the street, you know, mentally ill on the street. You know, one thing, those the people on the street, mentally ill on the street, they are people who have been in the psychiatric system. They're not people who fell through the cracks, who, you know, poor mentally ill who have not gotten psychiatric care and need it. These are people who've been in the system. It's the system and the drugs that have led to their further decline. So, you know, these problems that we face now that are very American, we're also the biggest pill poppers in the world. We're the
yes.
biggest pill poppers in the world. And we have all the, you know, mentally ill homeless. We've got, you know, we rank 37th in health in the world.
And in infant mortality, we're...
Yeah. So we've created all these problems. Every single psychiatric drug, every single one, the category of drugs, all make worse the very condition they're supposed to treat. Antidepressants, read the warning label. Antidepressants can worsen depression, cause suicide. Anti-anxieties can cause more anxiety. Everything, antipsychotics. Schizophrenics in the U.S. and other developed countries that use psychiatric drugs do worse than schizophrenics in Nigeria and Colombia and India, where they do not get the antipsychotics. Antipsychotics prolong psychotic symptoms. It's just crazy. The other thing for people to keep in mind, somebody actually saw this on Facebook, somebody posted this, and it's a good point to keep in mind. Every drug that has ever been removed from the market by the FDA was at one time found safe and effective by the FDA.
Oh, yes.
That's something
yes.
to keep in mind.
Yes.
You know? And there have been some horrific examples throughout history, you know, like, well, there's just been horrible examples, and we're facing them right now, where we have, you know, more and more warning labels get added, but the big question is, why are these drugs still on the market? How can the FDA put a warning label and tell parents, and the drug websites tell parents, say with the ADHD drugs, watch your child for signs of suicide, you know, how can they put these warning labels, but they still market it?
Sure. Do you think that people just don't look at the warning label, or they're not aware of it, or they just simply think, oh, this probably means somebody else, this won't happen to me. It's like smokers mm-hmm. who feel mm-hmm. like, oh, other people will get cancer, but it won't happen to me. Do you think it's that, or they simply trust their doctor to make the right decision, and they feel, and doctors often say, well, the benefits are better than the risk, or outweigh the risk?
I think most people don't read the warning labels, the package inserts. They're very lengthy, very fine print. Most people don't read those, so then they are counting on their doctor giving them informed consent, and most doctors don't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
How can you do that in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Alrighty, we will be back in 3 minutes.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents. accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Linda Loggeman, and her website is drloggeman.com, and you can contact her via the website. The other websites of interest is cchr.org and cchrint.org. If you have a question or comment, feel free to call in at 800-313-9443. Now, getting back to these parents and people who really believe, gosh, this medication is helping my child, or this medication is helping my mother-in-law. She used to be really angry, and now she's more even tempered. They just insist that this medication is helping them. How do you address something like that?
Well, one's through the placebo effect, and this is something that, you know, there are a lot of studies on this. I don't know that people realize how much of what they may be experiencing is placebo, that even the drug companies, they fight this. That's part of how they conceal and manipulate data, is to try to manipulate out all of the people who get better because of placebo. So it's very, very strong. And recently there's also been what are called meta-analyses, where they study all the studies of the, you know, the antidepressants, and find that they are no better than placebo, and they have adverse reactions that, you know, a sugar pill doesn't. I would just say a placebo.
Sure.
Yeah, It's what the drug companies are doing to try to make it look like their drugs are effective is one of the things that has been revealed is they will start a trial. The other thing, somebody in the chat room had commented about drug trials, and I tried to put some, but I have to refresh and log in here again, but I just haven't done it. But drug trials are ridiculously short, and most people don't know that. They assume that for a drug to get FDA approval, it must have been on, you know, in trials for a year or something. But they are, the SSRI antidepressants, for example, the average length of the drug trial was somewhere like 5 to 7 weeks. That's it. Weeks. And Prozac, the first of those SSRI antidepressants that got FDA approval, the clinical trial for that, the subjects in the clinical trial, because of the agitating effect of Prozac, had to be given an anti-anxiety at the same time, and that was allowed. That was allowed. That passed.
Yes.
But anyway, they only get like a 5 weeks trial, 5 to 7 weeks trial. Then what they do, so here's what they do. They'll start a trial and, you know, you have your two groups and you put randomly assign, you know, some to the placebo and some to the drug.
Mm-hmm.
Then after a week, they look at it and they see of the placebo group, the ones who are getting a sugar pill, all of them that reported feeling better, they eliminate from the study.
Right.
And
they're all stacked.
That's right. And of the drug group, all of those who say, oh, I feel worse, or I'm having bad effects, or something, they eliminate them. And so they're really loading, stacking the cards here. Then they proceed with the study after they've done this and, you know, weeding out. Then they proceed. And then they can report and say, oh, see, we beat the placebo effect. Well, because they eliminated everybody who felt better on the placebo.
Right, right.
That's how they do it. That's one of the ways. They do a lot of things. Wow. They actually do just straightforward, just, you know, make up studies also.
Sure.
That was one of the things that they got the Department of Justice busted GlaxoSmithKline
sure.
for.
All righty. We do have another caller. Let's,
sure.
Let's take Ray in Oregon. Ray, welcome.
Hey, well, thank you. I want to say, how do you spell your name, Dr. Lagerman?
It's LageMann.
Very good. I want to just compliment you and say kudos. You're brave.
Oh,
you're powerful. You're quite brilliant in your presentation. You've got your facts. These are all such good arguments. I loved especially the you know, comparing it to a lobotomy and a shock treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I've always in my political debates with people, I say, you know, they used to believe the earth was flat.
Mm-hmm.
We can use this in our, as far as our mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Ray, we are going to a quick break. We'll hold on the break and we'll be back in 3 minutes. So stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Your money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dr. Linda Loggeman. Her website is drloggeman.com and cchr.org and cchrint.org. And we had Ray from Oregon. Would you like to continue your question or comment?
Well, what I would leave you with is you know, it all, we could maybe lay this as the core of all the problems of the world, but it comes down to personal responsibility. Everybody feels bad. People go through bad stages in life, and they watch TV or their friends on something that, you know, all these effects, whether it be the placebo effect or whatever, but, and they want to take a pill to make them feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can just dump their responsibility there. Well, then even better, you know, if a doctor says, well, you should take this pill, well, then they got a double dump of responsibility instead of, you know, putting on your boot and cowboying up and doing what founded the country supposedly, but being responsible for yourself is what everybody seems to be running away from, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's totally true. I like that. Everybody's got a cowboy up.
Yeah.
but this is, I think it's totally true. And I think, you know, all the commercials and everything, has just played into that and has sold people this idea that it could be so easy, that it's just taking a pill. And yeah, then people do want that. And now, after, you know, a couple, you know, decades, almost two decades of commercials, you know, since 1997, so 17 years or so. Since that, now, you know, people balk at the idea of having to cowboy up and do something. They're like, well, you know, it's just too much work, like exercise. Exercise is the single best treatment for depression. Hands down, all the studies, even the drug company studies, they all say exercise is the best treatment for depression. But people don't want to do that. They're like, oh, you know, I just want to take a pill. Come on. You know, I don't have time for that.
And watch TV. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're doing a great job. Continue, stay bold. You know,
thank
mighty
you.
Forces have, do, and are coming to our aid. I think this is a culling of mass proportion. It's just part of it,
yeah.
You know, these drugs and whatnot. But there's going to be a culling, and a lot of people are not going to make it. And that's, we can only do what we can do. And
thank you.
We do. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah.
The other thing that I have found that whenever I am really sad or depressed about something is to go and do something for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, get your mind off yourself and go help a neighbor or just do something,
right.
Especially if you do it anonymously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That is the thing. And it's also purpose. You know, when you're helping somebody else, it's purpose. I think people are happy when they have purpose and meaning.
Yes.
And
yes.
That is in doing for others. You know, like I was saying, when I was in New Mexico and working morning to night, doing everything I could to try to make sure this bill passed, I was very, very happy. Never once did I think like, oh, this is too much work. No, it was energizing. When you're doing something that is part of your purpose, you are happier and you have more and more energy, which is not what happens, you know, if you just sit and watch TV and, you know, all the mind-numbing.
Sure.
Yeah.
And think of all the children in the entire state of New Mexico. You did that for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really hope that, you know, that other states, and I may get involved in that, you know, but that this gets enacted other places. You know, this kind of protection is needed, and it's going to happen, you know, it's going to happen by people getting aware. It's going to happen by, you know, one person doing something, another person doing something, until all those little dots of one person here, one person there, they all connect. And I tell you, I love it when I meet other people that are fighting the fight also. It warms my heart, and I want to hold on to those people because it's very important. You know, we are up against a behemoth in the pharmaceutical industry, the psychiatric industry. It is massive. It's got money. It's got control of so much. But we have truth on our side, and so it's important to, like, team up and fortify each other and help spread each other's, you know, influence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, we have some other callers.
Sure.
Gary in Pennsylvania. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna.
Hi, how are you?
Dr. Lynn, where you been?
Hey, hello, Gary. I recognize Gary from Pennsylvania.
It's so good to hear you on the radio. I thought you got lost out there, but I know you're fighting the battle.
I know you've been praying for me, too, and I appreciate
oh
that.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, Gary has my back.
Yeah,
I'm happy to report I've got 8 guys in the recovery house, and I just got the last one off Prozac. It took like 2 months, but everybody's drug free now, and you know, I owe a lot of that to you giving me the courage to do this, because you know, this, I would rather have somebody that's been doing heroin for 20 years than somebody that's been on one of them SSRIs for 2 years, you know.
Yeah,
because it's such a battle. And you have the perceived authority with the guy with the white coat and the stethoscope.
Yeah.
Oh, my dog, you know. But it's been a blessing to know you and to get the encouragement, and all your work is so appreciated. I don't think I'd be where I'm at with my recovery house if it wasn't for you.
Oh, thank you.
But I wanted to ask about American Addict. I thought it was going to come out this month, and the last time I looked, it wasn't available yet.
It's It's actually, the premiere is going to be on, let's see, what is it? It's May 15th is the premiere. So he's referring to American Addict is, American Addict, the original one, is on Netflix and was like the most popular documentary on Netflix for a time. The director of that made another one that's the better quality, and you put much more into it, American Addict 2, and I'm actually interviewed in that one, and that's the one that Gary's referencing. It's going to be coming out May 15th, and that is looking at, well, American Addict, it says the title. It's, but the American Addict 2 is focusing on the impact on people from all of this drugging. The first one looked more at the politics of it, the FDA and all that, but American Addict 2, I'm interviewed in it quite a bit, and talking about the impact of all the drugging on children is one, and on, the violence. There's Ron Paul is interviewed in it, and Dennis Kucinich, and some different Hollywood people. Matthew Perry from Friends, he's interviewed in it, because he was addicted to... like oxycodone and those things for a time. It will be coming out. I'm glad you're looking for it.
I show a lot of the CCHR videos at the house. As a matter of fact, one of the prerequisites now is I interview these guys before they come to my house when they're still in rehab or still in prison. And, if they're not interested in coming off their psych meds, I just refuse them. I'd rather not. Then they'd be, they wouldn't be good for the house. And the guys that have come off them, the new guys that come in and they're willing to, do what it takes. And I put, I got a weight room now. I get them,
Them
exercise, change their diet, get them off the GMOs. And the, we're working on, I got a few guys off the gluten now. And just like 10 days off the gluten makes you feel great.
Yeah.
And I was trying to remember that guy, Deanna, you had on a couple months ago about, he was talking about how these factory farms that are growing wheat spray, 2 weeks before the harvest, they spray Roundup. I can't remember who that guy's name was. I was trying to remember, black in my brain, and I couldn't figure out. They thought I was lying about it. But do you remember who I'm talking about?
I don't, but when Dr. Seneff was on the program, she mentioned that also, and we had her on
I remember
February.
Her. I remember when we had, if you had that little awakening about why they call it Roundup. But, another question for you, Deanna. I have two books called License to Kill, and I noticed in your picture on your blog talk, you have a book behind you there called License to Kill, but it looks thicker than either of the ones I have. Who is the author of that?
Oh, I'd have to look downstairs. It's in my downstairs book.
The two I have, the ones by Andrew G. Robbins, and the others by Barbara Avery.
I have the Andrews or the Anthony book also, but it's a different the one that I have downstairs in the bookcase is about organizations like Blackwater.
That's like two books over from it. But another thing I wanted to add to the conversation or reaffirm what Dr. Linda was saying about how the labeling becomes so disabling. If you got a guy in a white coat, this perceived authority telling you you have a chemical imbalance, and you're gonna need help with a chemical. We're gonna fix it. I mean, that is one of the biggest mountains to climb with some of these guys, because they're coming off the street drugs. They put them on their drugs, and they think they're okay now. You know what I mean? And they're not. They just changed drug dealers is all they did.
Exactly.
In my eyes. We're up against a behemoth here with the money and all the lobbyists. When I first got clean in 10 years ago in 2004, it'll be 11 years in August, but I read a book called Overdosed America, and at that time there were 600 lobbyists. Now there's, like you said, almost 1,300. So, I'm praying for you in Washington, D.C. You got your hands full. But you know what? You, you never get discouraged, which is so, you know, which I so admire, and yeah. you give me the courage to go on because, you don't realize it, but you affect change, and you don't even know you're affecting other people and giving them the courage to go on. But you haven't been affected by the nocebo effect, you know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And, you have to get past the information, do your own research, past the disinformation and the manipulation and the marketing. I mean, that's all against us. It,
yeah.
You know, so what? So what? You dismiss it because it has no standing. It's not based on any fact. There's no biological test. I start these guys off. You were told you have a chemical imbalance. Did they do any tests? You know, and I make them watch a video, you know?
That's
and,
so
you know,
good.
I take a lot of these guys in. I'm taking a guy in this week. You know, he's on Wellbutrin. What's the other one you were naming? Abilify, and he's on something else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One's not enough. They got to have him on two or three, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, that placebo effect. I mean, if you look at the studies, I remember that email I sent you about that one study that was manipulated, made up.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing this all the time now.
Yeah.
They're doing this all the time.
Oh, they are doing it all the time.
You know, it's,
yeah.
I am so offended by the silence and the denial of people that know better. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm really offended by it. And, anyway, I don't want to start ranting, but it's good to hear you on the radio again. And drop me a line when you get a chance. And I'm always praying for you and you too,
thank
Deanna.
You.
God bless you both.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Gary is doing so much for people. He is saving lives.
That is just wonderful.
Yeah.
Just wonderful. I have the sign here on my desk. Guns don't kill people. People on psych drugs kill people.
That's right. That's right. That's Gary's creation. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, along with the shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful guy.
Yeah, he really is. He's got a great ministry, and he is saving lives and freeing people. It's very true. You know, most substance abuse treatment places, all they do is substitute one drug for another drug. And, substitute a drug got on the street for a prescription drug. And as he said, all they're doing is just changing the dealer. And, so he's really helping people get free from substances, period.
Exactly.
Not like trading it in for, you know, one that's, making a doc rich or the psychiatric industry rich. You know,
like trading drug dealers is what
trading drug dealers. Yeah.
Yes.
Something I wanted to mention before we have to stop is just for people to be aware of, because you know a lot of people take weight loss supplements. I mean, this is like a big thing in our culture. It's part of that thing of not taking responsibility. People want a pill for everything,
sure.
So they don't want to exercise or watch their what they eat. They they want a pill. But anyway, an article that just came out it was just last week. The FDA laboratories did an analysis of three weight loss supplements and found that they contained other drugs with risks that were not, they were hidden. It's actually what they say is there were hidden drug ingredients with known risks. One of those is a weight loss supplement called Excel, X and then CEL.
Mm-hmm.
And Excel contains Prozac. An SSRI antidepressant.
Oh my God!
Excel, and it's concealed, it's hidden, but it was only because the FDA labs did an analysis. So they're issuing warnings now to people. Again, they don't take them off the market, but they just issue warnings and let people know that Excel contains fluoxetine, which is Prozac, an SSRI antidepressant. And in the FDA's their warning when they're saying this, they say SSRIs have been linked to serious side effects, including suicidal thinking, seizures, and abnormal bleeding, blah, blah. But anyway, it's in the dietary supplement Excel.
Wow.
And they're urging people if they've had, there's a MedWatch safety thing where you can report to the FDA, adverse reactions. So they're encouraging people, if you've had an adverse reaction, please report it to MedWatch Safety, the adverse event reporting program. et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I mean, on the one hand, it's good that they do issue these warnings, but how many people have heard about this? I hear about it because I am, you know, I am immersed in this stuff, and I
sure.
make sure that I'm up on the what's being published. But, you know, again, this isn't front page news, and if they know that this is happening and that it causes suicidal thinking, seizures, and abnormal bleeding, why don't you just pull it from the market? You know,
sure.
do we really need a pill out there for weight loss that could cause seizures and suicide, you
sure.
know, so somebody can lose 5 pounds?
Wow.
It's just, you just should pull that from the market.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We are going to another break. We have a couple of callers. We'll take when we get back.
Okay.
And, only 10% of people actually report adverse reactions because they don't know they can. Okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Heart problems were in my family, and I did notice these chest pains occasionally. I decided to try it, and I don't think I'm going to stop for quite a while. Nothing has worked as well as this product has promised to. I've taken, you know, supplements and that sort of thing, and never really noticed a difference.
Well, I turned 60, and when I went into the doctor to get my reports, the lady at the desk, she looked at it, and she says, "Wow." I says, "What's that say?" So she came back and looked at my last check. She says, "Well, you've gone down half on your cholesterol." So she says, "I guess don't do a thing, only what you're doing right now."
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
HempUSA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide only at HempUSA.org.
It's only 2 hours today because of some scheduling and technical difficulties at RBN. Our guest is Dr. Linda Loggeman. Her website is drloggeman.com and cchr.org and cchrint.org. We have 2 callers. Let's quickly take Ed in Dallas. Ed, welcome.
Hello there, Deanna. How are you guys?
We're good. We ladies are good.
Hey. The problem that she's talking about is so bad, and has been so bad for so long, that there has been incentives for music to be written about that very issue. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen it or not, but there's a group in Austin, Texas, and their name is the Austin Lounge Lizards. And what they wrote, the song they wrote was called "The Drugs I Need."
Drugs I Need?
The Drugs I Need, yeah, and if you go on YouTube and put that in YouTube, you'll see The Drugs I Need instead of Austin Lounge Lizards. Anyway, that one is right on point with what y'all guys are saying. I mean, it's exactly what's going on. People are, they take the drug, they know there's a problem with the drug, but, oh well, you know, I need them, so, you know, I'll just take my chances, you know, with the side effects and so on and so forth. And the other thing I want to tell you guys is I did, when my child, my daughter was in school, I did find out the key to keeping children from having to take inoculations to be in school. And it was, I know a lot of people argue this point, but it's not true. I first went in and told them that I had a sincerely held religious belief against putting pharmaceuticals or anything that's foreign to the body in the body, and so I didn't want my child to take them, but I wanted her to get an education, right? So they put her out of school, and so I sit down with the principal, and I talked with him with just common sense, and what I told him was, I said, let me ask you a question, Mr. Principal. How many people in your school have not taken inoculations? He said, well, he says, only about a couple. I said, that's about right. That's what I figured. I said, and if my daughter wouldn't take them and she was in school, what threat would those three people be, those three children? What threat would they be to the majority of the school? None, right? I said, because they've all taken inoculations. So, I argued that with him, and also asked him, this was real important, I asked him, where does he receive his check from? Does he receive his check from the medical board? Or the medical profession? Or anything like that? And he said, we receive checks indirectly. And I said, well, I don't understand that. But I said, I know that you're a school administrator, and you shouldn't have anything to do with the medical profession whatsoever. And I don't see why you would be pushing something of the medical profession in school.
Right.
And so we argued about an hour and a half, or at least an hour and 30 minutes anyway. I'm sorry.
We are out of time. I'm sorry, Ed. We've got to cut you loose here. And, Andrea, I'm sorry that we did not have an opportunity to take your call. Dr. Loggeman, thank you so very much for being on the program today and for all the things that you do. We just love you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So keep up the good work, the great work.
Thank you.
And I hope all the kids in New Mexico really appreciate what you've done.
Well, if they do or don't, I'm happy to have done it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
All righty, bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Take care.